Okay, I think it's recording now. So thanks, Kati, for that excellent, really, really great overview of this workshop and the goals of the workshop, as well as the goals of all the participants, right? You are here to learn more about data, perhaps to discover new physics in the data set that we, the CMS analysts, may have missed. I'm very excited for this workshop in general. It's a really fascinating experiment, really, that CMS is doing, making all of these data available to anyone in the world. I think it's been a big success to this point, and I think it will continue to be a success going forward. I comment on a couple of things quickly, organizational stuff. There is a link to Padlet in both Mattermost in the town square, as well as in the Zoom chat right now. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, you can see both your facilitators for this and some of your peers, some of the other participants. You can add a photo or just some text about yourself if you want. Okay, I'm going to talk to you about how to find your data. And first, let me tell you how to find some of the materials I'm going to be sharing with you. So let me go ahead and share my, let's see, I don't think I can share my window. So this will be, let me go ahead here. So let me show you where I'm going to go. I'm going to start from, so this is the Padlet. I'll just show you guys really quick. This is where you'll be able to add your pictures as well as the pictures of some of your peers. This was not actually the window I wanted to share. But that's okay. I can show you that. Good. What I did want to show you, you would think I would know Zoom by now after all this time. Here we go. Great, this is what I wanted to show you. So most of you are familiar with this page right here. The way I'm gonna get to what I'm about to show you is if you want to, you can go to one of two places. You can go to the scientific program. You can go to the timetable. Oh my gosh. If you go to the timetable, you can see a breakdown of everything that will be happening today. Here is Kati's talk as well as her slides. And then here's the material that I will be going through with you for the next 45 minutes before setting you loose on some hands-on exercises of your own. There is a link directly to the lesson itself, but there are also some slides here. And I'm actually going to start with the slides before we come back to the actual exercise. And this is how you can use this to jump to most of the lessons if you want to. Just to, again, point out something else, if you go to the main workshop page, there is a link here, tutorial site. And if you click on this link for the tutorial site, you should always be able to get back to this. This is the website for all of the different exercises, some of that you've done already, as well as all of the exercises you'll be doing. Kati had a screenshot of some of the schedules for each day. This is in CERN time, although I realize that many of you may not be in Central European time. And you can always get to this page again from the Indico. So I'm just going to go back to our original Indico page. And this link here, tutorial site, will take you to that list. But I'm going to get to what we're going to do by going to timetable. You can follow along with this as well. And there's two links here. One is the dataset scouting link, and the one is an overview of Google Slides. And that's what I'm going to start with right now, just to give you a quick overview of what we're going to be doing. And this will also provide kind of an introduction, really, to not just what I'll be doing, but what many of the other instructors will also do. So this will just take a few minutes and then we'll get into the actual material itself. So the way many of these lessons are structured is there are three parts to the lessons. The first one is going to be an intro or an overview. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to walk through the documentation that is posted for the tutorial. For the lesson that I will be going through with you, there's about, I can't remember if there's three or four lessons. This is an active lecture, and therefore you should try to do this with me. All of the information that I'll be going through with you is on the webpage, and I recognize it can be difficult sometimes to both follow along with a lecture, but do it as well. I will try to slow down and make sure that you are able to follow, but you should use Zoom to raise your hand. You can post in Mattermost as well. There is a channel for this exercise, Dataset Access, and one of my fellow facilitators may be able to jump in. One of your peers may be able to help you as well. So let me emphasize right now, all of the participants, you are in this together, and you should feel free to help each other out with all of these exercises. This overview will mostly be clicking through parts of the Open Data Portal, so it should be relatively straightforward to go through. But of course, this still applies for some of my colleagues' lessons as well, where you'll be typing out code. So this will be about 45 minutes, and then we'll have a break built into the schedule for coffee, tea, whatever you want, water, use the restroom. And then there'll be a hands-on activity that we've dedicated 40 minutes to. And you'll be working on this on your own. In other words, there's no lecture associated with this. Now, all the facilitators will still be here. There is still work to be done after this. But you could post questions on Mattermost. You could raise your hand in Zoom if you wanted. And if you did not understand everything in the intro demo, which is most likely, because we're going to be introducing a lot of information kind of fast, just remember the learning really takes place when you're doing the hands-on activities. This is the point of this exercise, of the workshop, really, is by doing the work yourself is where you learn. So if you had some questions about the intro demo, that is fine. When you get to the hands-on, ideally, that's where some of this will stick. And then after the end of the day or end of the day's presentations, again, no matter what your time zone is, there's a challenge for you to work on, again, on your own. In other words, you'll work on this asynchronously. The facilitators will not be online. This will be today after the scheduled lectures. When I say online, we won't be on Zoom. However, we will be monitoring Mattermost. You should really be working, however, together, if you will, with your peers. In other words, trying to help each other answer questions. Some of you may be in an environment where you have a local mentor, maybe a postdoc or a more senior researcher that you're working with. And if they help you answer some of this, you should feel comfortable posting your solutions to your peers so that they can help you out. And the solutions for this will be presented tomorrow. I believe it's the first thing on the schedule for Tuesdays. So this kind of rhythm, if you will, for an exercise will be duplicated by my colleagues for the other parts of this workshop. Okay. So let me tell you the point of this exercise, right? Why are we going through? Why did we put together this particular lesson? So suppose you are a theorist, a phenomenologist, or just a very bright experimentalist, or not even any of those, just some amateur scientist who's been thinking about physics, and you have posited a new symmetry in nature. And if there's a symmetry in nature, we know that there must be some carrier for this interaction. And you're like, haha, I know how to find this new particle. I'm going to go look in the data. And what does that even mean to look in the data? Well, you're going to go to the Open Data Portal and you have some questions that you want to answer. Let me move this out of the way here. Move that there. So you have some questions, and one of them is, well, what data set should I use? CMS has released a few different data sets. Is there more than one data set that is applicable to your search? How much data are there? Are there only 100 events? Are there 1,000 events? Are there a quadrillion events? Well, it's probably somewhere in the middle there. What triggers have been used, which is best for my search? Ideally, everybody has gone through the trigger pre-exercise, so you're aware of what I mean by triggers, this pre-selection of data. So with data sets, what triggers have been applied? Are any of them even good for your search? And then you know that there's going to be some background. So is there Monte Carlo for SM, for standard model background? You have theorized something beyond the standard model. And is there Monte Carlo for your signal? And this is what we're going to walk through, is how to try to figure out all this from the Open Data Portal. So what we will do for the beginning is just figure out how you find any data or Monte Carlo of interest. And so the first three quarters of this exercise, you will just follow along with me as we navigate through the website. I will be going through the tutorial. The screenshots are all there on the website so that you can see whether or not you are clicking on the right thing. But you should click through the links as well. And if you haven't already, you can open up the opendata.cern.ch. And of course, feel free to ask questions either with the Zoom raise hand, or you can post them either in the chat or Mattermost, and one of the other facilitators will try to jump in and help you. The last part of the activity will actually be using some of the tools to look in some of these files and see what's in them. So to do that, you will need your VM, virtual machine, or Docker image. So if you want to, you could even get that going now, or you know, while I'm talking and wrapping this up in another window in preparation for, again, this last part of the exercise. What I'm not going to cover, just in the interests of time, is the CERN Open Data Client. The slides here have a link to the documentation for this. I will just read from their explanation. It is a command-like tool to facilitate downloading files from the CERN Open Data Portal. The tool enables you to query data sets hosted on the Open Data Portal and to download and verify the individual file sets. And so if, as you scale up your analysis, you may find this useful not to download all the data, but to download subsets of the data if you are testing out some set of code, if you want to examine some of the file records more closely. So again, while I am not covering this today, I would like to point out that this is available for people who want to go further, again, in just exploring the data and finding out where things are. Okay, we are about to get started. I will pause for a moment to see if anybody has any questions about any of that. Any questions? All right, then. Let us jump right in and let's see if I can figure out how to share properly again. Let's see if this is, if I've selected the correct window. Yep. So I'm back on the timetable for today, and I'm going to go to this link, Dataset Scouting. This is the one link that we will use for both this intro demo, as well as for the hands-on activities, and the exercise that you will do afterwards. Well, let me move this out of the way. Okay. So here's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to figure out how to get you and all of your great ideas to the data where you can test these most awesome ideas that you have. The setup here, if you click on it, I won't go through it now, but basically says you need an internet connection as well as Docker or virtual machine set up for the last part of the exercise. We'll go through an introduction. I'll go through a little bit more about the Open Data Portal, some of the metadata, talk about where the data sets, what data in Monte Carlo available, and then what is in these data files. And then we will have a break, about 15 minutes if we are on time, less if we're not on time. And then the hands-on activity you will do while we are here. You will do that today before we go on to the next activities. And then the offline challenge you'll do on your own. I hope they're fun. They're relatively basic, but I hope they'll be fun for you. Okay, so let's get started in the introduction. Ideally, everybody is following along with this as well. And you may have the open data opened in some window as well. I think I have it as one of these, but I'll figure that out later. Okay. So again, if anybody wants to, you can even jump ahead to episode 4 just to remind yourself of how to open your Docker or VM, and you can have that ready. Okay. So here's the point of this exercise. You've got a great idea. I'm going to make this a little bit bigger just in case anybody is following along with the screen. You need to figure out what data there is that you can work with. So in other words, you want to figure out what year was that data taken. In general, at least for run one and run two, there is a set of years that correspond to 7 and 8 TEV collisions and some data that correspond to 13 TEV collisions. And you want to find out what triggers were applied. In other words, how was the data pre-selected? There may not be a perfect trigger for your search. So you would like to find the 1, 2, maybe 3 triggers that provide pretty good coverage for the signal that you're looking for. And then beyond the data, of course, you need some Monte Carlo. You need some Monte Carlo data sets that you can use to check for background that may mimic your signal. And you may want to look to see if there's any Monte Carlo that was produced for your signal. And if there isn't, you can work with the maintainers of the Open Data Portal to either simulate your own data and do the full processing, or perhaps even work with members of CMS to produce that data, although that is an extra set. Okay, so we are going to walk through this process. There is more text than I really want you to read through right now, but I do hope that, especially as you're doing the homework, you take time to go through the text and language that was written. Now, on the Open Data Portal, it's not just about making data available to you, but we also want to make the data citable. And so there is some language here just to kind of explain to everybody how you can cite specific data sets if you want, even before we get into the data sets. I think it's important so that it can you can formally acknowledge the work of many, many, many hundreds and thousands of people who work together to collect this data. And so all the data sets have something called a digital object identifier. There are links if you would like to read more about this. But what a DOI allows you to do is assign a unique ID to any piece of digital media. Now, that could be a book, that could be a video, that could be some music, or in our case, software packages or data sets. And this allows someone to cite that, that data set or software if you want. And so once we start getting into this and clicking on the links to actually look at the data sets, for example, this is a link to the double electron primary data set in an AOD format. We will talk about what this means. But if you look on the page, you will eventually see that there is a DOI, fairly complicated grouping of numbers and letters attached with each record. And this means that you can cite this if you want to. You could either reference the DOI on its own, or if you are a user of BibTeX, there are tools like DOI to Bib. There is a link here to that. I'll click on it. Nope, it's not working right now. Oh my gosh, how embarrassing. Well, if you go on here and if you enter in the DOI, you can get the BibTeX entry that you could like cut and paste into your form if you wanted. I wonder if I could do this in real time without slowing things down too much. So I will go to this, I will grab this record here. I will now go to DOI to bib. Oh, no, it's actually here. I guess it regenerated it. Yay. So you can see that this generated some LaTeX code that you could paste into whatever document you're working on. You don't necessarily have to cite everything, but depending on your study, it may be worth citing whatever you've used. It has the author, the title, the publisher, the year it was published. There is also a term which you may or may not be familiar with as much called provenance. Provenance refers to the place of origin of something. And so I'm going to be exposing you to the naming scheme for many of these files and data sets. And it's going to seem very, very complicated. And I totally get it. And I would forgive you if you were like, this seems more complicated than it needs to be. But as experimentalists, we really need to know the history of how a data set was processed. We need to know the version of the software, the period of calibrations. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to keep track of what was processed when and whether the Monte Carlo that we're using is consistent with the data set, the collision data that we are analyzing. And so provenance and this metadata is built into these data files so that we can follow things, so we could backtrack if we needed to. So this is not, the DOI and the provenance are not directly parts of maybe what you're going to be doing on a day-to-day basis, but it is useful to know why some of the information is on the website, as well as why some of this maybe at first glance appears to be more complicated than you think it needs to be. Okay, let's go ahead and find our data. I am now going to advance to the next lesson here, which you can use either by going back to the main listing, or just go click on this to the next one. Okay, where are the, actually before I move on, are there any questions? Does anybody want to raise a hand or have a comment or question? All right, no problem. All right, so let's talk about where are the data sets. Let's see if we can find them. Okay, so our starting point is going to be the CERN Open Data Portal. And if you haven't opened this, I would encourage you to open it now. So here I have a nice live web page that I can do stuff with and go through this with you. Back to the lesson itself. So ideally, everybody is on this page. This is an older page from last year, so it may have changed slightly. And what we're going to do, because this is the CMS Open Data Workshop, we're going to find the CMS link over here, and we're going to click on it to start out. So under Focus On, I will also do that here. So I will click on CMS. Find these links here. And if you click on it, you should get something that looks like this. The links that you see here to the different data sets are a little different because, again, I did the screen capture last year. But the biggest difference, just if you're comparing what you've done to what I have in this screenshot, is that I have collapsed these sections here. And so you'll see a lot more information on yours. And to keep track of things, you may want to collapse these extra radio buttons here. But you can select different aspects of the data set, which we will. You can look at very specific documentation records, information about the environment and the software. And right now, all we've done on the Open Data Portal is select the CMS experiment, which has 3,995 records as of today, which is more than last year at 883. Now, we could select only the data set rather than the software and other materials, which is what we are going to do. So going forward, you will select the data set, and then eventually we'll just select 1 year. There were going to be entries for the data set for 2010, 2011, and 2012. And so if you select data set here, I'm going to recollapse these. Oops. Again, we have filter by year on this, 2010, 2011, and 2012. And then as Kati mentioned, there is coming, there used to be some entries for 2016, but that will be coming down the road. So for now, you should have CMS selected as well as data set and 2012. And that's what we're going to look on for going forward. So data set is selected, 2012. And that's what we'll work with from here on. And then you can go ahead and move on to the next lesson. Okay, so I have shown you absolutely pretty much almost nothing so far. I've just showed you how to select the CMS data, which is not surprising. This is a CMS workshop. We have selected data sets right now because, again, the point of this exercise is scouting around for the proper data set. We're not focusing on any of the software or other documentation, although you may at your leisure want to study some of this other information that may be very interesting to you. So let's talk about what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to start now using more specific terms. I should have actually had some of this in here, but I think I missed it. I'm going to make a distinction between, this should read collision data, and collision data comes from the real life CMS detector, and then Monte Carlo data, which are simulated data that we use to perform our studies. If I just say the term data and I forget to use the term collision data, I'm generally referring to data which came off of the real CMS detector. Now, the main data is that we're going to be working with, at least today, is called run one. That spans 2010 to 2012. And each one of these run periods, let's say for 2010, can be broken up into sub-periods A, B, C, and so on. And so you will find this in some of the data set names. You may see 2012, but then you may see it followed by an A, a B, or a C, and some particular month range. So again, for now, we have selected data set, we've selected CMS, and we've selected 2012, which now is showing the 2016 and 2018 data as well. Okay, and you can see what we've selected up here at the top. Yours should look something like this, although it may look a little bit different in terms of the number of entries. Now, there are three subcategories for data set. Collision, again, as I mentioned above, but probably should have moved this earlier. Collision is real data that comes off the CMS detector. This is where you would perform your actual search for the data. Derived data sets are data sets that maybe have been skimmed or filtered, perhaps for outreach or education or the iSpy event display. And then simulated refers to the Monte Carlo data sets, the simulated data that you would use to perform studies for background or maybe sensitivity to your signal. For now, we're going to unselect derived and we're going to unselect simulation so that all we're looking at is the collision data. This is the quote unquote real data. So if I go over here, I'm going to unselect simulated, I'm going to unselect derived. So all I have over here is collision data. And right now I show 58 entries for collision data. That doesn't mean 58 events, it's 58 records here. Now, some of these data sets, the names might be a little bit confusing, so we're going to look at a couple of them. The ones I happen to choose were Double Electron slash Run 2012B-V1 slash Raw. And this division of three sections divided by slashes is common to the data sets. There's also one I have here, Single Mu, Run 2012, B, January 2013. And you can click on these links if you want to, if you would like to go directly to those records. These are live links if you want to. But let's take a little bit of time and try to understand what these three fields refer to, because you'll be working with them over the next few days of this workshop. So the first field refers to the trigger. And again, ideally, everybody has done the pre-exercise. But just if there's one takeaway, if you're really, really new to this type of collider physics, what a trigger does is either at the hardware or software level is it filters out some subset of the data based on very specific criteria. So for example, if you see something that says double electron, you could probably take a guess that this requires that there are at least two electrons, at least two, it could be three, it could be four, it could be five, but at least two electrons above a certain threshold. Now, when you get into physics objects, you'll find that the definition of an electron is not so simple. So for the time being, maybe it would be more appropriate to say that there was some deposition of energy somewhere in the detector that is consistent with what one would expect from two electrons above at least some energy. There is a single muon requiring at least one muon above a certain momentum threshold. There's minimum bias events. These are events taken without any other sort of trigger or selection criteria. So in other words, you just open the floodgates, take the data for a while. It's good to test maybe other assumptions sometimes. And if you have more questions about the triggers, you can reach out to Mattermost or review the pre-exercise. There's many, many, many more triggers that we work with in CMS besides these three. And you'll see other names here. The next field is this run period. So for example, run 2012 1B version 1, run 2012B22 2013. These refer to when the data was taken and or when the data was processed. You may also see things like V1, V2, again, version 1, version 2 of some processing. This is not as important for you, the analysts of the open data. Within CMS, because the data is being calibrated and processed kind of on a running basis, it's very important if you start your analysis at one stage with a particular set of data that you are matched up with the correct Monte Carlo. Some of the facilitators here, more so than I, much more credit should be given to them for ensuring that the data that you have access to is consistent. You do not have to really keep track or make these significant choices because it has already been made for you. And so we have really just unique run periods available for you to work with. Behind the scenes, as a CMS analysis, you have to kind of be very careful though, because you can see all of the different run periods. But that's what that middle field is. And then the last field is the data format. You will see some sets of data that are raw. So this is information really directly from the detector in the form of hits from the detector elements. And then there is the AOD. This is analysis object data. And this is generally where most analysts start. The data has been processed in a form where instead of saying that you have some bit of information at this detector element or this detector element, you can see like some physics objects or something to work with. I think there is a hand raised. I apologize if I mispronounce your name. Sunny, did you have a question?
I have a question that you are saying this V1, V2, these are some means some calibration they are changing, and according to the put that V1, V2 version name. So in open data, we will get the last one or the first one? We will get V1.
You will get the last one.
Okay, so most updated one we will get. Okay,
That's
thank you.
correct. That's correct. Yeah, you do not have to worry about this. But I wanted to explain what that information was there. No, this has been made much easier for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good question. Any other questions? Okay. All right, now if you click on any of these data sets, you can find even more information like the size of the data set, information on what the recommended software, information about the trigger selection, as well as a list of all the individual root files. And I wanted to go through that because we are actually going to use some of these actual names of these root files if you want to inspect them manually, or you will see strings of text like this later on when you are working with some of the objects. So let me go to that double electron primary set that I opened. Actually, let me go to one of the raw ones, or not the raw ones, but the AOD. So this is actually the live Open Data Portal. I'm going to click on this Mu EG, but I could really click on any of them. You'll find that DOI information, but you'll also find a description of the data set. This is a primary data set in AOD format. It's all the runs from that run B period. Here's some information about the number of events. What is this? 14,776,453 events, 4.4 terabytes in total that span 1,201 files. It's a lot of information. Here's some information, more information about the trigger. How were these data selected? And if you go to, I think it's at the bottom, you can see the list of files for any of these. And so that screenshot that I had in the lesson, if you go over to list files, and then actually, I think if I just click download, it'll actually show me. Yeah, here we go. Here's the list of all of those different files. You will learn how to use some of this information in scripts. To process the data all at once rather than typing out all 1,201 of these file names. Okay. This prepended root is how these files are stored. And again, you will use these directory paths when you interact with some of these data. Now, with the Monte Carlo, you can go through a similar exercise with this. We're going to go back through and unselect the collision data and instead select the simulated data. And we're going to click another button at the top, which is include on-demand data sets. So now we're going to look to see what Monte Carlo is available. So I'm going to actually let me go ahead and just start at the main page. I'm going to CMS. I'm going to click data set. I'm going to select the 2012 data. And instead of looking at the collision data, I'm actually going to unselect the collision. I'm going to unselect derived. And so, what I have now is a list of 368 records, and these are now all Monte Carlo or simulated data. If I go back to the lesson, again, if you've selected things, you will see. Oh, maybe I didn't. Did I do the on-demand data sets? Nope, I forgot to click this section here. So this on-demand data sets, now I've got 2880. I was wondering why that was a bit small. So you'll have CMS 2012, the simulated data set, and the on-demand data sets. Again, our data is named, broken up into three fields, separated by slashes. The first one, instead of the run period, which is what our which is what we had before, or sorry, the trigger was the first field in the other ones, we have the physics process. In other words, what is this Monte Carlo sample simulating? So for example, DY jets to LL, M50, there are links I will show you in just a moment about how to understand this, but I can tell you that this is a Drell-Yan process with jets to two leptons in the mass of less than 50 range, or the mass of the dileptone pair, it's supposed to be above 50. Now this can be fairly confusing, all of this, but I will show you a link to learn more about this, what tuning was done, what was used to produce this data set. In this case, it's a MAD graph. There is a global tag, and this is the question before about processing periods. As a CMS analysis behind the scene, I need to make sure that this processing information is consistent with whatever data set that I'm using. You do not have to worry about that as much, but for better or for worse, you know, we still give you the entire file name, but just to explain what this middle section is, it tells you something about the provenance of when this data was processed, or this Monte Carlo, and under what calibration conditions. Now, the last field for all of the simulated data is different from the collision data, and it is all the same. It is, in this case, AOD sim. So this is analysis object data simulation. This means it basically has the same fields as what you would expect in the regular data. There's some extra information associated with the fact that it is Monte Carlo data. But otherwise, you can still find the same muons, the same electrons, same global muons, everything you will learn about in physics objects. At this stage, your analysis should be almost effectively the same as if you processed the data itself. Now, if you scroll further down, you will see ways to select by very specific categories of physics processes. So I'm going to go back now to the live open data portal. And if you scroll down, and I'm looking on the left-hand side here, you get to this filter by category. And now you can see there are data sets specific for B physics and Quarkonia, beyond two generations, exotica like dark matter, extra dimensions, gravitons, leptoquarks, heavy gauge bosons, and just as important in all of that, standard model physics. These are your potential backgrounds. And so we have provided you with a whole bunch of data sets simulating generic QCD, top physics, which is a background to many processes, electroweak, Drell-Yan processes. This is where you'll spend a lot of time trying to understand whether or not these standard model backgrounds simulate your signal of interest. And unfortunately, a lot of times they do. And then it's up to you as the, you know, the searchers for truth, the seekers for the underlying understanding of nature, to try to figure out how to separate background and signal. That is where, that's where the rubber meets the road, as they say. Okay. So you can go through and you can take a look at these at your leisure to try to explore these, and it is worth poking around all of this. Okay, any questions about this before going on to the next section? Ideally, you know how to, or at least you've seen how to navigate the open data portal to find some things. Any questions? All righty then. Okay, moving along. Okay, so what is in these files? We've really seen nothing of the data so far. So what we're gonna do is take a look at them, ideally. And so hopefully most people here have gone through the pre-lessons on either virtual machines or Docker. You should have a working CMS area or know how to get there. You will see this I copied this blatantly from one of my colleagues' lessons about how to set up your CMSSW area as a reminder. So here's a reminder of how to do stuff with the virtual machine. And of course, you can go to the links for the pre-exercises if you want to for the virtual machine or Docker. A little bit of reminder here of how to start your container. And what you want to do is once you're in that environment, make sure that you are in the source directory, and then make sure you run the CMS ENV script. And this sets up the environment so that you have access to the CMS software tools. Now, there is a whole suite of tools prefixed by EDM. This stands for Event Data Model. You can use these to dump information about individual files. It's very useful to just take a quick look and see what's in them, right? These are massive files, tremendous amount of information in them. You can get information about provenance from them, as well as just the data that's in the files. And so the one that I'm going to just introduce you to, although if you type EDM and then hit tab, you'll see that there are other ones. The one that a number of us will use on a regular basis, and you may find as well, is something called EDM Dump Event Contact. I would encourage you to copy and paste the name of this, or just be careful of the capitalization, the CAML capitalization. This is sometimes referred to in programming, where the first term is lowercase, and then the other words, dump event content, are capitalized. And so if you type this out, I happen to have a session. Let me see, I'm gonna stop share, and then I am going to see if I can share this terminal. It doesn't look like I can. Here we go. If I can stretch this out, there we go. So in this environment, here is my, I'm in home CMS user. And if I just cut and paste that command, or I'm just actually gonna try to type it out, EDM, I can hit tab to autocomplete. You see there's a bunch of EDM tools, including something called prov dump, provenance dump. But right now we're gonna use EDM dump event content --help. You'll see that there are a number of options such as print only branch names, print out everything. And if you grab the command from the, what's the word I'm looking for? If you grab the command from the lesson, you see what we do is we wind up going to a particular file, one of those, I think I grabbed a Drellion perhaps. TTJets. And I redirect the output. I dump everything. And instead of dumping it to the screen, I dump it to a file that I call testedmoutput.log. So all I did was I cut and pasted it. I'm going to use VI to look at it, but you could use less or cat or anything else. And if you run it, it may take anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds to run. We may have a lot of people hitting that particular file. But if you go in there, you find all of this information. There's the LHE event product, that's LaHouche events. It's a file format for simulated data. Trigger results, there's a vector of gen jet objects. And then you can see what they are. These are AK5 gen jets. You will learn about what this all refers to. And this is just a small subset of the data. You can keep scrolling through. You can find there's all this information about the muons, so on and so on. And so if you're interested to see if a particular file has, you know, information, maybe you're looking for jets, maybe you're looking to study photons, maybe you need some combination of them. It's a quick way to see some of this stuff and see what the names of these are. At the very end of this exercise, I have a few other commands that are useful to kind of like play around with, just to get a sense of what they can do if you were looking for very specific stuff. One of them adds this dash dash regex, which is regular expression. Searching for anything that has a muon in it may take a moment to run, but you see that I get everything with muons here. And if you run it again, I will grab the next entry in the exercise. This one has a dash dash name at the beginning. And what it'll do is it'll do a little bit simpler output and just give the names of all of these fields that are in here. I'm going to stop sharing. I see that there's a couple of hands raised. I'm not sure who raised their hand first, so I'm just going to go in the order that they appear on my screen. Dylan, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just curious if users have the ability to recluster their own jets using your software, or if you just offer a set of different jets with different radius parameters or something like that.
Yeah, no, so that's a great question. So there are ways to access the, and I'll let my colleagues correct me on this. You know, some of the publications that have been using the CMS data have actually been studies of jet substructure. And so I cannot remember off the top of my head if they used the AOD information, if there was enough in there for them to access and then redo the jet clustering. Or if they had to go back to the raw data. But I do know that there is a way to access that information such that you could write your own clustering algorithm if you want to. And there are, in fact, subsets of the data that have been specifically released for people who want to do machine learning, particularly for things like jet clustering with the data. So that has a little bit more low-level information. Franz, I think, or Dylan, I think I saw on Padlet that you're a member of LHCD.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So there has been, you know, so I can use maybe a bit more specific terminology. Yeah. I do not know how much or exactly who has used some of this data for machine learning, but it is out there.
And if Jesse you look Thaler, in the other, it's group.
Yeah. MIT. Yeah. Jesse Thaler. Yep. And Julie's just posted some stuff in the chat that AOD does have the particle flow candidates. So that is basically the individual particles that one would use to try to cluster. So you could go back and basically redo it if you wanted to.
Okay, yeah, that's sort of what I was wondering. If one would be missing anything if they just reclustered with FastJet from the list in the AOD.
Yeah, no. So not to spoil anything, right? So AOD has a tremendous amount of information in it, such that for many years, analysts mostly used a simplified format called mini AOD. And now over the last couple of years, a nano AOD format has been developed because for most analysts right downstream, that's all they need. And I mentioned mini AOD and nano AOD just to emphasize the AOD format actually has a tremendous amount of information in it to do these types of these studies and variations on these parameters.
Thanks. Sure. Maybe I could ask one more really quick question. Is sure. there a mechanism for users to request Monte Carlo through the Open Data Portal, or do they just email a collaborator?
So I don't believe that we have a formal mechanism to request it through the portal. You can use the portal to contact some of the organizers. We have had in the past a tutorial about how to generate your own smaller samples. It looks like Edgar may have a more specific answer, though, than I about maybe if there's any formal mechanism.
Right. No, there isn't. There isn't a formal mechanism, but you can produce your own Monte Carlo samples using CMS infrastructure. There are instructions that will be mentioned throughout these lessons, at least in the analysis flow example for sure.
I see. So just so I'm understanding, it one wouldn't necessarily need to request. You just generate a sample yourself.
Yes.
Right. I mean, if there is a good reason for releasing some Monte Carlo sample, a very good reason, and if we have that Monte Carlo sample available, then you could contact the coordinators of the DPOA group, the open data group, and we can talk about it. But you could also produce your own.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
And just to emphasize,
this kind of request have to go through the collaboration board of the experiment and so on and so forth, if there was such a chance to do it.
Yeah, and just to reinforce what Edgar said, by producing your own, Edgar's really referring to like doing the whole, like through the simulation, you know, from starting from some very raw data and winding up with AOD sim that you can analyze the same as you would any of these other data samples.
So I guess you could use whatever generator you like.
Yeah. Although becomes a little, at some point it needs to be in a LaHouche file format.
Okay. Thank you.
And Franz, you had a question as well?
Yes, I still do. Maybe a more low-level question about the format of this text file we dumped. First of all, it's a full simulation sample. So the sim, RICO, and high-level trigger references, they stand for the different steps of the reconstruction.
Right. So RICO, yes, RICO is a step in the reconstruction. The HLT is the high level trigger. That's just additional information that is effectively a set of flags to say, right, so you've got this huge Monte Carlo data set for, let's say, Drell-Yawn. Each event has a certain probability of passing any one of like a few hundred different high level triggers, for example. And so the HLT fields that you're seeing are a way for you as the analyst to say, look, I'm using a data set with this particular trigger. I can now apply these flags. You know, I can search for these flags in this data, in this Monte Carlo simulated data to see if it passed those different triggers. That's different from the idea of like RICO, which is, yes, a different stage in like the reconstruction process of the whole data processing.
Okay, so the difference, for instance, okay, high level trigger, I got this, thanks a lot. But the difference between sim and RICO then would be purely artificial. It's just the different steps of the reconstruction. Sim would be the initial particles that you simulate, and the RICO will be after they pass through the detector, right?
That's correct. And there's intermediate stage like digi-hits where we might take the simulation, right? So we've got the simulation of the detector, but at some point I need to turn that into like the actual electronic signals that I would imagine are coming out of the detector itself. I take those electronic signals and pass them to RICO. So yeah, there are these individual stages of the reconstruction process. It looks like Kati may have a bit more precise details to say about these stages, though, than I. Kati, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, just a remark, not much precision, but take note of the different vocabulary that we have. What we, as an experimentalist, we refer to simulation is the simulation where the generated particles have already gone through in the detector set up through GEANT. What often the theorists refer to simulation are what we call the generated particles. So generated particles, they can be either sort of, we have, for example, Pythia built in our CMSW. So
okay, it's the particle gun at the start. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but okay, then great. If we have other generators, then they come in as in LHE format.
All right. And the second question, actually, what are these rho and sigma labels?
Rho labels, we have few data sets which are very, very small data sets which are in rho format. That's for us to study the reconstruction of the
So I think we're looking at the EDM dump event content.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah. I was meaning rho as in the Greek letter and sigma also.
Oh, excuse me. No, I do not have the screen, so I can't answer to that question.
Yeah, the basic structure of the dump is that column is a name. For the collection row in specifically refers to the ones you'll see here are going to be an average energy deposit from that event. We typically use it for evaluating things like here's a new vocabulary word, pile up. So all the extra collisions that have gone on, but that column in the EDM dump event content is kind of giving you the name of the object.
Okay, makes sense. Thanks.
So on the first question that where you were seeing, which I think was also from looking at that panel, where you're seeing Rico in the last column there of the names, you actually can make up that name. Everywhere you see Rico in that list means that all of those things in the event were created together in some process that was named Rico. So actually you can see a wide variety of names, even user defined names. You could make up your own process and run it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and this is, I'm just bringing this back up here for reference, the things that both Julie and Kati referring to, this Rico as well as this SIM, and then the Lahouche file stage that, as Kati said, this is really at the generator level where you see LHE. And sometimes you will see gen as well from like the particle gun, if you will, or even at the Pythia level. Awesome. These are all good questions. Kati, did you have anything else you wanted to add? I see your hand up or?
No, sure.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Good, cool. These are great questions. This is awesome to hear people engaging with the stuff. Before I move on, which is I think actually for our break, does anybody have any questions? Okay, so the next section is, I'm actually gonna share.
We go for a break.
Yep, and so we have a little break here for I believe 15 minutes. If you want to, you can jump into the hands-on session, if you will, which is really just reviewing some of the material. But I think we are going to stop recording from now. Some of us will log off for a while, and then we will be back in about 15 minutes, I believe. Thank you, everybody.